Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Tes Vav. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we open today's shiur, we have a little note, and that is that we have a new marking that should have been included in our previous shiur. So let us turn for a moment to the bottom of Yud Dalet Amid Beis. We've inserted to the bottom line a house marking around Rav Papa and also indicated a number 1 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The explanation of this is found in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei topic and Mivneh structural note. You can see a little house form is featured, and we've written in Nisyonos Lahazbir Shitas Rabbi Yehuda Shecholek Al HaChomim B'Mishnosenu. These represent attempts to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who argues on the Chachomim in our Mishnah. Shim Echod Min HaChalois, in the case of Shtei HaLechem, if one of the loaves, in the case of the Shtei HaLechem offering that takes place on Shavuos, Oy Echod Min HaSdorim Shel Lechem Aponim, or one of the two stacks of bread that constitute the Lechem Haponim, Nitmo, if one of these, either one of the Shtei HaLechem or one of the stacks of the Lechem Haponim became Tomei, HaKol Hoylech LeBeis HaSreifa, everything is disposed of. Even that which did not actually become Tomei, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is disposed of. Rav Papa, in our previous shiur, had explained that the basis of the machlokas between the Rabbonon and Rabbi Yehuda is that Rabbi Yehuda holds Ein Hatzitz Meratze Al Achilois. The tzitz is the golden headplate of the Kohen Gadol. It has a type of atonement capacity, atonement or licensing capacity, whereby because of the tzitz, something that otherwise would have been classified as tomei and problematic becomes acceptable. So the tzitz has this acceptability mechanism in it to allow for tumo. This is true with regard to tumo that affects things that are sacrificed, that are burnt on the mizbeach. However, Rav Yehuda says, according to Rav Papa's explanation, that the tzitz will not be effective in condoning or atoning for a tumah problem that affects something that otherwise would be eaten. So, according to Rav Papa, Rav Yehuda's stringency in the Mishnah, that everything goes lebeis hasreifa, even that which did not become tamei, this is because ein hatzitz meratze al achilos. The tzitz does not create allowance for tuma when it comes to items that otherwise would have been eaten, like the shtei alechem or the lechem aponim that is eaten by the kohanim. Our shiur now picks up from the end of the second line from the top on Tes Vovam Aleph with a very long question. You can see this is illustrated by the long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, where you see a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. This vertical dashed line indicates that all of the lines of Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed marking constitute the question, at the end of which you will see a second house form with a number 2 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, which represents Rabbi Yochanan and his explanation as to why Rabbi Yehuda says what he does in the Mishnah. Let us look at our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin with regard to an additional marking, and that's this volcano shape. The volcano shape you'll see appears several times in the Gemara text till you get to the end of the long question. So in our note on the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh heading, Kushyo Aruka, we have a long question, Murkevis, that's made up Mikamo Hoichochois, from a number of proofs, Sheshitas Rabbi Yehuda Eino Mivuseses Alkach, that the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is not based on that which Rav Popa said before, She'ein hatzitz meratze al achilos. In other words, we will see cases where Rav Yehuda maintains his opinion of stringency, even in situations where you're not dealing with items that otherwise would have been eaten. But rather, we'll see cases where Tumah figures in the scheme of things, and even though it's not Tumah that relates directly to something that is eaten, and nevertheless, Rav Yehuda maintains his position of stringency. Therefore, it'll be obligatory upon us to see what is the real underlying factor underlying Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Let's now turn to the Gemara. Amale Rav Huna braid Rav Noson l'Rav Papa. V'ha oilin. Oilin is represents items that are not eaten, but rather are placed on the fire of the Mizbeach, or placed on the Mizbeach for offering up heavenwards, and not eaten. Dehatzitz meratze al ha'oilin, that in general, if there is a problem of tumah that confronts an item that's classified as oilin, everyone will agree that the tzitz covers or atones for the tumah deficiency. Upligi, and yet we will see that the Rabbi Yehuda argues with the Chachamim even in these kind of matters, even in matters of oilin, the sanya. Here we have a source, and the source features the bozichin. The bozichin contained the lavona, the spice that accompanied the lechem haponim. The bozichin, or more accurately, the lavona contained within the bozichin, is something that is not eaten. It's oilin. It's placed on the fire of the mizbeach and offered up every Shabbos. The source says, Nitmo echod min bozichin. If one of the two bozichin became tamei, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shnehem yasu betuma. Both can be done betuma. In other words, there is no longer any consideration of trying to maintain a state of tara. Lefi she'ein korban tzibur choluk, because when it comes to public offerings, as the lechem haponim in fact is a public offering, there is no distinction made within such a korban. In other words, you wouldn't want to have a situation where one of the bozichin is tomei and the other is tohar. In fact, Rashi goes so far as to say, "Yasu b'mizbech betuma yagi'om ze lo ze." In fact, have one touch the other. Im yirtze, if he should want, shein korban tzibur choluk. And Rashi says, "V'afilu ein magio basheni shneim tameim." Even if you don't actually have one touch the other, both are classified as tamei. The korban tzibur doicha tuma, and we know that public offerings push off tumah problems. The beperek ketsa tzoylin, the amai lo have tohor b'tohorosoi, hotzitz matzal oylin. Why don't you say that the tohor shall remain tohor? After all, the tzitz does atone for items that are oylin, that are offered on the fire. Vavi aktor ma'aliyaso, the also lutamias ator, and it would be a perfectly good halal, perfectly good offering, and in general there's a prohibition of being metame sator. And yet Rabbi Yehuda says in this case we are not concerned, and he bases himself on this comment of lefish ein korban tzibur choluk. The Braisa goes on, v'chachomim oimrim hatomei betum osoi v'hator v'tahar osoi. The chachomim hold that which became tomei is tomei, but that which is tohor shall remain in a state of tara, of purity. The Oid Omer Ravashi, and Ravashi says furthermore, Toshma, we have another source once again, where we'll see Rabbi Huda's opinion stated, and we're not dealing with something that the tzitz has anything to do with it, and yet Rabbi Huda is of his opinion, that we'll see stated very shortly. This source concerns the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is a korban that is offered on the 14th of Nisan. If a minority of the public happens to be tamei, they have a makeup date, and they would do it on the 14th of the following month, in the month of Iyar. That's by way of background. The source goes on to say, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afilu Shevet Echo Tome, even if one tribe of Israel, there are 12 tribes in Israel, if even one of them happens to be Tome, if all the people of that particular tribe are Tome, the Chol Hashvotim Tahorim, and the rest are Tahor, Yasu Betuma, they all do the Korban Pesach, they are able to do it even in a state of Tuma. In other words, according to Revi Yehuda, there is not going to be any pushing off till the 14th of Iyar. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a singular tribe has a din of kohol, a din of the public. And as a result of that, there's a halacha that when the public is tameh, so it's doche tuma. And therefore, if one element of public, so to speak, is tameh, then everyone can do their Korban Pesach even in a state of tuma. And he says here, Lefi she'ein korban tzibur cholot, because public sacrifices are not to be split, part this way and part that way. Then the Gemara points out, V'hocha mai hatzitz meratze ikah, what issue of tzitz meratze figures here? It's explained that the tzitz meratze is something that applies to a sacrificial item, not to people. So the tzitz meratze doesn't figure in over here. And even so, Rabbi Yehuda is still saying everything is lumped together and they shall all do it bituma. So once again, we have another source featuring Rabbi Yehuda, and the explanation cannot be as Rav Papa suggested. V'oid Omar Ravina, Toshma, and Ravina brings a source. The source begins here, Nitmeis achas min hachalois, oyachas min astorim, if one of the loaves of the shtei halechem became tomer, one of the stacks of the lechem upon him, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shneim yetzu lebeis asrefa, they shall both go out to be burnt, even if the other one is still tohor. Why? Lefi she'ein korban tzibur choluk. Because we don't want to have a public sacrifice that's split into two different categories. B'chomim omrim, hatomei b'tumoso v'tohor ye'ocheil. The tohor, the tomei will have to be disposed of, but the tohor one shall be eaten. Now, this quote contains Rabbi Yehuda, and it says explicitly the fishein korban tzibur choluk. Now, if Rav Papa's explanation is correct, then it should have said here the fishein hatzitz meratz al achilos miboyle. The reason everything is sent out to be burnt is because, as Rav Papa explained, the tzitz does not atone or cover for matters of tuma that relate to items that are eaten. And in this case, you have items that are eaten, the shtei alechem and the lechem upon him. And yet it doesn't use in this source Rav Papa's reason. This then represents a problem for Rav Papa. Elo Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Limud Oruch Hu Befiv Shel Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda has an oral tradition. She'ein korban tzibur choluk, that public sacrifices are not to be split, not to be dealt with if they are in two separate categories, namely part tohor and part tomei. In the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading. Shnei korbonos hamurkovin mibehema ulechem. We will see featured here two types of sacrifices that are made up of an animal and of bread, loaves of bread. Hamefagil b'bosor nispagil alechem. If one, while slaughtering the animal, has in mind to eat the meat at the wrong time, the lechem also will become pigel. The bread will also become classified as pigel, and even though while one's thoughts were on the meat and not on the bread, nevertheless the bread becomes categorized as pigel, and if one eats that bread, he will be chayev kores avol. Hamefagel b'lechem, if one, while processing the animal, had in mind to eat the bread at the wrong time, ein habosor mispagel. The meat, though, does not become categorized as pigel. And hence, if one eats the meat, he will not be guilty of kores. As far as markings are concerned, we'll see we have our Mivneh heading, which features a crown form. This crown form you see in the Mishnah is around the words Hatoido and Hakvosim. The Toda is a Korban Toda. This is a sheep that's brought along with 40 loaves. The 40 loaves are made up of four different varieties of loaves, 10 loaves in each variety, hence a total of 40 loaves. The Kifsei Atzeres, the Kvosim, is a reference to the two sheep that are brought on Shavuos along with two loaves of bread known as the Shtei Alechem. We will see in the Mishnah also, we've highlighted the word with a double underline and with dots in it, the word Ketzad, which serves to illustrate the halacha that the Mishnah was trying to teach. So we have this word Ketzad highlighted regarding the first example and the second example of the Mishnah. Let's now turn to the Mishnah. Hatoida mefageles es alechem, v'alechem eino mefagel es hatoida. This we explained already, and now the Mishnah itself explains it. Ketzad. Shochad es hatoda. One is shechting the toda. The toda represents the animal, is the name of the animal that's slaughtered along with the 40 loaves. So he shechted the animal. What did he have? What was his stated intention? Le'chol mimeno. The mimeno is from the bosar. Le mochar. To eat the meat at the wrong time. The Toda is a type of sacrifice that has one day as it one only its time limitation. It is one day. So he has in mind to eat it the next day, which is beyond the right time. The result, he valechem mefugalim. The meat obviously becomes pigul. That's his mind was on the meat. His stated intention was concerning the meat, but the bread as well becomes affected by the pigul status. However, another situation where he shechted the toida le'echol min halechem lemochor, while he was slaughtering the animal, he expressed his intention of eating the bread beyond the right time. Halechem mefugal va'toida eino mefugeles. The bread becomes affected as pigul, but not the meat. A second example. Hakvosim, this is the shnei kivsei atzeres, that are brought on Shavuos, says in the Mishnah, Mefaglin es halechem, v'halechem eino mefagel es hakvosim. Ketzad, and once again, you can see exactly the same structure. The Mishnah explains itself. Hashochid es hakvosim, le'echol mehen lemochar. One shechts the sheep with the intention of eating from them the meat the next day. Heim v'halechem mefugolim. The meat, obviously, and the bread as well. The bread is a reference to the shtei halechem, which come along with the shnei kivsei atzeres. The bread as well becomes pigul. However, if he shechts the kvosim le'echol es halechem lemochar, with the intention of eating the bread the next day, halechem mefugol v'akvosim einon mefugolin. Only the bread becomes labeled as pigul, and not the sheep, not the kivsei atzeres. Before we get into the Gemara itself, let's just take note of some of the markings. You notice that we have in the Gemara text itself a double underline with a design between them. This is noted as a number one in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim down a few lines, you'll see a number two. To explain what the role of these markings, we look at our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. The 1 and 2 represent Shlavim, stages, Bechipus Tam Dina Mishnah, in our search for an explanation of what the reasoning behind the halacha of the Mishnah in fact is. My time off the Gemara. Gemara asks, what is the reason that we say Toda Mefageles Es Alechem? That a machshava concerning the meat affects the bread, even though there was no stated intention concerning the bread. So the Gemara says, E lema. This, of course, in standard Gemara structure, when you see E lema, it's a word indicating that, that what we will suggest now will be rejected. But we mark it off anyway as a stage, because we have to go through this stage, and we call it stage one, in order to get to the real answer, which will appear as number two in this case. So, what is the reason that the machshava, that the stated intention concerning the meat, affects the bread? Ilemo mishum de Rav Kahana, if you say it's based on Rav Kahana's teaching. The Amar Rav Kahana, minayin lelachme toida, shenikru'u toda. From where do you know that the breads, the 40 loaves that accompany the toda, that accompany the sheep, are also called toida? Shenamar, the pasuk says, v'hikriv al zevach ha-toida chalois. So you see, by this juxtaposition of expressions, ha-toida chalos, we see that the chalos are called toda. Well, if that be the case, then it would stand to reason that if he's mefaga belechem, that if he shechts the animal with the intention of eating the bread at the wrong time, and the bread is called toida, and the animal is called toida, so that intention should have an effect on the meat as well. And yet the Mishnah says not so. The Gemara says, ha lo kashya. This last point doesn't really present a difficulty. Lechem ikri toida. It's true, the bread is called toida. Avol, toida lo ikri lechem. But the animal is not called bread. Therefore, if one slaughters the animal with the intention of eating the bread, okay, so he has an intention of eating the bread at the wrong time. But the intention to eat the bread does not ruin the animal, because the animal, the toida, is not called lechem, and his expressed intention concerned eating the lechem at the wrong time. Ela hodikotoni, we have in the Seifa, hakvosim mefaglim es halechem, and in order to find this, if anyone has any doubts about where this is a quote from, look at the little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text and skim up to the page, and you'll find a parallel arrow and indicating where this quote comes from. So in fact, it taught the second example in our Mishnah concerning the Kivsi Atzeres, where the Mishnah says the kvosim mefaglim es halechem, valechem eino mefagil es hakvosim. Using the same logic as we tried to say in the first stage, in the Ilemo stage, where we said that the breads are called toida, and that helped to explain, at least we thought, it helped to explain why if one is mefagel in the meat, which is called toida, so everything that's called toida becomes affected, namely, even the bread. Well then, how do you explain the Seifa? Lechem hecho ashkechon de'ikri kvosim. Notice with our dashed underline, you compare this to what we had dashed underlined before, and you'll see how balanced this structure is. Where do you see in the case of the Kivsi Atzeres that the lechem is called keves? In other words, in the Seifa we say that if you shech the keves of the Kivsi Atzeres with the intention of eating the meat at the wrong time, the bread also becomes affected. So in the ratio we use that logic according to the Ilemo suggestion and said, okay, the bread happens to be called toda, therefore if you had intention to eat the meat, the toda, the next day, that creates pigel on whatever is called toda. Here, you have an intention to eat the kivosim the wrong day. And the Mishnah says that that intention makes the bread also pigel. But so where do we find that lechem is called kivosim, that this rule should be able to apply? Therefore, we don't. In other words, we don't find that lechem is called kivosim. And nevertheless, we know that if you shecht the kvasim with the intention of eating kvasim the next day, the bread is affected. Ela hainu taimo. Rather, the following is the explanation of why a machshava concerning the meat ruins the bread, but a machshava concerning the bread does not ruin the meat. And the answer in general will all depends on what's called main and what's called subsidiary. Subsidiary will always be will always follow that which is main. However, that which is main, that which is essential or primary, will not follow that which is subsidiary. And this will be illustrated. We have a little aleph and beis in the text in order to differentiate between the two examples. Lechem glal toida. We know that the bread comes because of the sheep, because of the animal. In other words, because you're bringing an animal sacrifice called toida, you have to bring the breads. However, v'ein toida glal lechem, but we don't say that you bring the animal because you are bringing breads. Once again, as we said before, there's primary and secondary. The primary element of the sacrifice is the animal. The breads come along as a subsidiary element to it. Rashi refers to this, the terms ikar and tofel. The slaughtering of the animal, the sheep, sanctifies the bread. Likewise, in the case of the Kivsi Atzeres, the same analogy. Lechem glal kvasim. The bread is brought glal, like the word biglal, means because of the sheep, because of the Kivsi Atzeres. Vein kvasim glal lechem. But we don't say that the sheep are brought because you are bringing two loaves. Utsrifi. Before we go further, let us glance at the outside margin under our No Say heading. The Gemara's focus here will be Lomot Srifin es hadugma shel kivsei atzeres benosaf l'toida. Why do I need the example of the kivsei atzeres in addition to the example of the korban toda? One might have thought that if you would teach the case of the korban toda and the rules that the Mishnah teaches, that would be sufficient, and I could derive from that the rules concerning the Kivsei Atzeres. Why then was it necessary to teach the Kivsei Atzeres in addition to the rules of Toida? So the Gemara explains with a long point. You notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, a nun that's encircled, which indicates an akuda, a point, with a vertical dashed line that follows, indicating that all the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line form the point. So the Gemara points out, Utsrichi, I need the second example as well, in addition to the Toda example. The Iashmin and Toda, had I just told you the halach of Toda, Hosim Hu, maybe only there, Dechi Mifagil Balechem Lo Mifgil Toda, where your expressed intention while slaughtering the animal concerns the bread, the meat does not become Pigol, Mishum de Lohuz Kikuze Loze Bitnufa, because they are never attached to one another in the waving process. Tenufa is a situation where the items are placed on the hands of the owner and the kohen, and they wave it together. Avol kvasim dehuzikiku ze lozeb tenufa. But in the case of the Kivsei Atzeres, we know that the animals and the breads are placed on the arms of the Kohen, and he waves them. He does an arm motion with the animals and the bread on his arms. And since they are connected with one another in this process of tenufa, Emo, I would have said without our Mishnah, Ki mefaga b'lechem, if you have the erroneous or the incorrect intention concerning the bread, the shtei alechem, lefkili nami kvosim, let the kvosim also become pigol, because, as we said, they are connected with one another in the tenufa. Tzricho, therefore I have to teach the case of the Kivsei Atzeres as well, that they are, even though they may be together in the waving, it doesn't necessarily mean that if one has a wrong intention concerning the bread, that that will affect the shnei hakvosim, the kivsei atzeres as well. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking. We have a bow tie form and several other markings that go along with the sugi. So before we get into the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of our explanatory resources that appear on the side of the Gemara. We have a Mivneh heading that features this bow tie, and also a Roman numeral 1 through 3. These bow ties, as you skim ahead, if you see one over here, you can just skim down the margin or the little space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara and try to find your Roman numeral number 2, and you'll see that on Amud Beis. And, of course, a number 3 afterwards. These are, as our note says, Gimel L'shoinos B'she'elas Rebbe Elazar Meirav. 3 versions as to what Rebbe Elazar was asking of Rav. In other words, we haven't gotten into the Gemara yet, so we don't know what the content of the question is. But, nevertheless, it's sufficient at this point simply to say that there are 3 versions of a question that Rebbe Elazar asks of Rav. We've also introduced an Aleph and Beis that are attached to Roman numeral 1, the Aleph, and Roman numeral 2, you find a little beis attached to that. The reason for this marking is to indicate that, and we've noted this, Shnei HaLashonos, these two Lashonos, 1 and 2, which have the Aleph and beis attached to them, Doimim Ze Loze. They are very, very similar. The text is almost identical. Rak Shorisha Nishal Binyan Shoichei Toida. Only difference is that the first question is asked with regard to someone who is shechting a korban toda, and the firebox marking is used here to highlight the word toda. Vasheni kvosim, and the second version of the question features one who is slaughtering the kvosim, the kivsei atzeres, and there too you will see the firebox marking this squiggled box form around these words toda and kvosim. Under our topic heading, the Nosei, and we've indicated Aleph and Beis, because the, as we said before, the questions of Loshen 1 and Loshen 2 are almost identical. So the Nosei that we have here covers both questions, Aleph and Beis, the Aleph and Beis versions. She'ela be'inyan tziruf. These are questions that concern the issue of tziruf, means literally to join together. What we will be talking about is joining a partial olive quantity of one substance with another partial olive quantity of another substance in order to form a full olive quantity, a full kezias. So we have written in here, Hashochei Toda, or in the case of Kvosim, one slaughters the Toda sheep or the Kivsei Atzeres, Le'echol, to eat a kezias mimena from the bosar umi alechem and from the bread, in other words, a total of a kezias of the meat and bread. Haim mispagel halechem, will the bread become affected as a pigel? You'll notice that the question is focused on, does the bread become pigel? Gemara will point out that we are not going to entertain, even for a moment, the idea that we are asking about, does the meat become pigel? That's clearly no. The meat won't become pigel. He doesn't have a kavana concerning a full zayas of meat. Therefore, the meat is not going to become affected. The question is focused on, does the bread become affected when your intention doesn't concern a complete kezias of bread? Your stated intention here is to eat a kezias of substance made up of a combination of meat and bread. In addition, we have another mivneh note. This features triangles with colored in tips that whose positions will be flipping back and forth. When you see this situation, it's called a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth, give and take nature of the Gemara. So with the question, with the triangle pointing up, with the point upwards, they represent shelos or kushos, questions or raising of difficulties. With the point facing downwards, that represents responses. Let us now, with all of that introduction in mind, turn to the Gemara text itself. Once again, we want to emphasize structurally that the Roman numeral 1, Aleph, is very, very similar to what we will see on Amud Beis under the Roman numeral number 2 heading, which we call Beis. In fact, when we get to that section of Gemara, we will notice on Amud Beis, you can even look at it ahead of time if you scroll ahead to Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, there's a rather long section of Gemara that's in brackets. You can see the bracket length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text on Amud Beis, a vertical dashed dotted line. And all of that section you'll notice in the Gemara text itself is in brackets. Those brackets are not designed for skipping, as we usually do when you see bracketed sections, but rather it's simply designed to show that that entire piece of Gemara in the brackets matches almost word for word that which we will learn in version 1 Aleph. Let's now turn to the Gemara. with bearing in mind that it's of utmost importance to understand this version. Number one, thereby enabling us to go through version number two with minimum additional explanation. Bo'amine Rav Elazar me Rav. Rav Elazar asks of Rav a question. The question itself is noted with a long question mark, and you can see the shin, which is a abbreviated letter for abbreviation of she'elah, a question that Rav Elazar asks of Rav. Within this long question marking, we will encounter an angular brackets. The angular brackets that we will see, in fact, are designed for skipping. And the purpose of that is in order for us to focus on the question or see immediately what the question is. Within the bracketed section, which initially we will skip, contains information telling us that which is not the question. So what is the question? In order to see what the question is, we will read the Gemara with an initial skip of the angular bracketed section. The length of the bracketed section is indicated on the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara's text. You will notice a vertical dotted line. That is the extent of the Gemara that we will skip initially. Bo'amine Rav Elazar Meirav Hashoichet es ha-toida Lechol kezayas Mimeno milachmo Lamochor Mahu. Someone slaughters the Toda animal. This is a sheep that's brought along with 40 loaves, and he slaughters it with the intention of eating a Kazayan olive quantity, Kazayas quantity of food material, and the Kazayas will be made up of a combination of Mimena the Bosar, Umilachma the bread. That we will call that a Kazayas through Tziruf. And when does he intend to eat it? What's his expressed intent? To eat it tomorrow, which is beyond the right time. Skipping. Mi mitstarfo toido livguli lelechem oiloi. Does the meat that's part of his intention, the partial olive quantity of meat, join up with the partial quantity of bread that he stated to form an olive quantity, which is the minimum necessary quantity for a pigol status to take hold of or to set in. So does the meat, that's the question of mimit starfa toida, does the meat join up with the bread in order for the bread to become pigol? The bread meaning the 40 loaves of the korban toda, will they become pigol? And if anyone eats from those loaves, they would be chayev koreis. We emphasized before, and we say it again, the question does not concern the meat. Does the meat become pigol? And that's what the Gemara highlights in the bracketed section. So now let's go back over this and read the Gemara with a smooth, straight-through reading. Starting from the beginning. Bo'amine Rav Elazar Meirav. Hashoichet es ha-toido lechol kezayas mimeno milachmo lamochor mahu. Someone shechs the korban toda with the intention of eating a kezayas made up of part of the kezayas will be made of meat, and part of the kezayas will be of bread. Lifgule toido lo miboyali. As far as does the meat become labeled as pigol, that's not a question to me. The answer to that is obvious. Hashta kulo milachmo lo mifgila. If in a case where he has a machshava that does not depend on siruf, he has a more severe kind of machshava where he intends, he shechts the animal with the intention of eating a full kezayas of bread. That's considered, as Rashi explains, a machshava chamura. This is a type of machshava that is of a more severe nature because he's not relying on any siruf of joining two disparate elements to form the kezayas. And yet we know that if his machshava was purely concerning the bread, lo mifgila, the meat does not become tome, doesn't become pigul. Mimena umilachmo mibaya. Would you have a question if his machshava was a tziruf machshava of meat and bread? That's a weaker type of machshava. That certainly is not a question. In other words, the the meat becoming pigul as a result of a tzir of machshava certainly is nothing to ask about. It's obvious that the meat will not be affected. Ki kome boyali levguli lechem. The question concerns, does the bread become pigul as a result of this tziruf machshava? Mi mitstarfa toida levguli lechem oiloi. Does the toda, the meat, join up with the bread, the partial zayas of meat, partial zayas of bread, join up to form a full kezayas in order to ruin the bread? Omar Le, Rav answers Rabbi Lozer and says, af bezu, in this case as well, meaning not only in the case of one who shechts with the intention of eating a kezayas of bread the next day, but even in this case, halechem mefugol, the bread does become pigul, but not the toda, not the meat. Once again, the bread does become pigul, but not the meat. The Gemara asks a question, v'amai, why do you say that the bread becomes pigul? Lemo kal v'chomer. Why not state a type of kal v'chomer logic, the end of which will result in our suggesting that the bread should not become pigul? And here it is. Uma hamefagel ein mispagel. The mefagel is a reference to the meat, the toda. And Rashi explains, we have placed a little star in the Rashi toward the end of the page. You'll see the Rashi says toda hamefagel. Toda shisayeya lefagel lechem. Ein mispagel. The meat that comes along to help in ruining the bread, but the meat itself does not become affected. Kinamina ha-toda ein mifugelis. As we've said, the toda when it's coming to mifagel the bread, the toda itself does not become affected. So the going back to the Gemara, umaha mifagel ein mispagel. That which is capable of creating pigul itself doesn't become pigul. As we said, the slaughtering of the toda with the intention of ruining the bread, the meat itself, well, it's not in general, but that's the rule, the meat does not become affected. Habo lefagel velo pigel. In our case, we have a chasi zayas of lechem that comes to mefagel the toda, as Rashi says, and it does not affect it. Eino din shelo yispagel. All the more so, it itself should not become affected. So, going over this kal v'chomer in general terms, mind you, the case of the meat that comes to mefagel, it itself is not affected. Something that tries to come to mefagel and is ineffective, certainly itself should not become pigul. The Gemara asks, "Umi amrinan kal v'chomer ki hai gavno?" Do we state kal v'chomer logics like this? We will now present a halacha concerning which one may have raised a similar type of kal v'chomer logic, and yet we don't accept it. Therefore, just like in the following case, which is in the topic of kilayim, we don't accept this kind of logic. Therefore, here too, in the case of the bread and the meat and the korban toda, we should not accept this kind of logic. V'hatanya, we have the following source, and by the way, the length of this particular response is indicated by an inverted triangle that's illustrated or written into the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line. This point lasts a number of lines down the top of Amud Beis. So this is a response to the question that the Gemara had raised three lines from the bottom. It was a question posed to Rav's answer. So this, in effect, is a response. We're answering the question that was posed to Rav and attempting to say that this kal v'chomer that you're raising as a question on Rav is no question, because kal v'chomers like this we do not say, we don't use. V'ha Tanya, Maisa be'echod shezora karmoi shel chavero smodar. Person came along taking his own wheat seeds, wheat grains, and planted his friend's vineyard that was smodar in development. Smodar is a certain level of maturity. It's a very early stage of the grape development. So someone came along into his friend's vineyard and took some wheat, took some seeds and planted in that vineyard, which of course is inviting a problem known as kilayim, of mixed breeding. Ubo maisa lefnei chachomim. This incident came in front of the sages, v'asru es hazroim v'tiru es hagfanim, and they declared that the wheat that grows there will be forbidden, and the grapes that are there remain allowed, remain permissible. V'amai. Now the question could have been asked, why do these roim become asur? Leimo kal v'chomerhu. Why not advance a kal v'chomer type logic, the result of which would show that the zroim, the seeds or the plants that are growing from the ground, should not become forbidden. Uma ha'oiser eino nesar, mind you, the vines, the vineyard, which is capable of asering the seeds, the plants, and yet the grapes do not become affected. Habo le'asar v'lo asar, the zroim, the plants that came to create prohibition and yet were not affected in ruining the vines, they were not effective in ruining the grapes. Eino din shelo yisaser, then all the more so they themselves should not become forbidden. And yet we see that they are forbidden. So we see that this type of kal v'chomer logic, we don't accept, we don't apply. And therefore, this is essentially the Gemara's response in defense of Rav. Since we don't apply this type of logic in the case of Kilayim, we're not going to apply this kind of logic with the case of the Tziruf in regard to the Lechem and the Keves, the animal and the breads. And since we're not going to use this logic, this logic would have resulted in the bread remaining mutter. And since we're not accepting this logic, we will stick with Rav's response that the bread does become affected by being pigel. But to this, the Gemara raises a question. And you'll notice with the markings that this essentially remains. And it would appear that we could say that Rav's answer is not on the firmest of grounds, because the question raised on Rav from the Kal V'Chomer, in other words, the suggestion to apply the Kal V'Chomer, remains a good suggestion. And the attempt to reject the Kal V'Chomer suggestion from the case of Kilayim, that will now be challenged. Hachi Hashta, how can you compare the issue of the Kilayim with the issue of the meat and the bread, in the case of the slaughtering of the meat with intention to eat a kezias meat from the basar and the lechem? Ha'asam, in the case of kilayim, kanvus v'luf osra torah. Kanvus and luf are types of plants. And when we talk about kilayim doraisa, kilayim on the agricultural kilayim on a Torah level, it's only these kind of plants that are forbidden in terms of kilayim. What we're saying right now is really the tip of an iceberg, which constitutes the body of the laws of kilayim. But for our purposes, we're not going to get into any further detail other than simply saying, for simplicity's sake, that kanvas and luf are those kinds of plants that the Torah forbids. Skipping the printer's parentheses section, other plants are prohibited when planted in a vineyard only on a rabbinic level. So therefore, from a Torah level, nothing wrong even took place in the case of the fellow who came and planted his friend's vineyard. It's a rabbinic issue. And therefore, hai de ovid isura kansura rabbanan. The fellow that came into his neighbor's vineyard, he's the intruder, so to speak. He's planting a foreign variety in the vineyard. So he is doing something that is forbidden. The rabbis, it's of a rabbinic a prohibition to plant other varieties in vineyards as well. So the guy that came in to violate the rabbinic ruling, kansura rabbanan, the rabbanan issued a fine or a rabbinic penalty against him, telling him that your plants, your zroim, are usser. Hai delo avidi zura, kansura rabbanan, the owner of the vineyard that didn't do anything wrong. The Rabbanan did not impose any penalty upon him, hence the vines remain mutter. Aval hocha, but in the case of the shechting of the keves with the intention of eating a kezias of meat and bread, lemo kal vachomer, why not say the kal vachomer, and the result would be that the bread as well should not become forbidden, of contrary to what Rav had ruled. As you can see, and we introduced this earlier, the next section of Gemara, it's a rather long section, you find in brackets, and we have a bracket length indicator. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical dash dotted line. Following this bracketed section, the Gemara will point out that man demasni lo atoda, one who raises the possibility of tziruf, this joining of partial olive quantity of meat with partial olive quantity of bread to create a pigal situation with regard to the bread, and raises this possibility in the realm of the korban toida. That, by the way, was the first question. That was the first version of the question. Well, if in the case of the toida we can raise the possibility of tziruf, kol shekein akvasim, then certainly in the case that will be featured in the second version of the question, which, as we said, is really the same sugya all over again, concerning though sheep, the sheep, the kvasim of the kipsi atzeres. However, uman de masti lo akvasim, one who would raise the possibility of tziruf in the case of kvasim, I will tell you that maybe or only there would we even bother raising the question. Kvasim hu de huzgeku ze lo ze le tnufa. In the case of the sheep, there is a relationship between the sheep and the bread because they are waved together. Avol toida de lo huzkika ze lo ze betenufa lo, but in the case of the korban toda, where there is no waving of breads and sheep together, there isn't even a havamina, there isn't even a basis of raising the question in the first place. So as far as these versions are concerned, we can say that according to version 1, that you're raising the possibility is there tziruf, then certainly one could have raised, then it would have been all the more likely to raise the question as it does in version number 2. But if you were presenting, if you are of the opinion as version number 2 appears, according to this approach, the question would be raised only concerning the kivasim, the kipsi atzeres, and he never would have asked the question concerning the korban toda in the first place. Let us now turn to the bracketed section, and we will minimize our explanation here because, in effect, it's almost word for word the same as version number 1. At the beginning of the brackets, the Iko Demasni Lo Akvosim, there are those that raise or that teach Rabbi Lozer's question of Rav concerning the Kivsei Atzeres, as opposed to the Korban Toda that we saw before. And here it is. Hashoichet bo mine Rabbi Lozer meRav. Rabbi Lozer asks of Rav, Hashoichet es hakvosim lechol kezayis mehenu melachmon mahu. One shechts the kivsei atzeres with the intention of eating an olive quantity of meat and bread. Well, one olive quantity, one olive amount, made up of a joining of meat and bread. Mahu, and again we have this bracketed skip, and we skip momentarily. Mi mitstarfi kvosim levguli lechem olo. Does the partial meat quantity, that forms the partial olive quantity of meat, join up with the bread intention to ruin the breads, the shtei alechem of the kivsei atzeres. Going back now over the bracketed section, the angular brackets, with gulei kivosim lo komivoyle, as far as the ruination of the kivosim of the animals themselves, that is not a question. Hashta kulum ilechem lo mifgulei mehem, if one's intention is of a full kizayas from bread alone, which is a more severe type of machshava because it doesn't rely on tziruf, and even so, the animal does not, the animals do not become pigul. Mehen umi lachmon mibaya. If your intention is made of a tziruf, that's mehen umi lachmon, which is a tziruf machshava. Is there any room to raise the question? Obviously, no. There's no havamina in a tziruf case of the meat becoming ruined. When we raise the question concerning tziruf, the question is, does the bread become pigol? Does the meat join up with the bread to form a machshava of a kezias in order to ruin the loaves of the shtei halechem? Amalei Rav answers, af bezu halechem mefugol vagvosim einon mefugolim. In this case as well, the bread does become ruined and not the gvosim. When we say this case as well, it's in addition to the case of someone who shechs the kipsatzeres with the intention of eating a full kezias of bread, lemochar, in which we say the same thing, that the bread becomes pigul, but not the meat. So this, the Gemara challenges, v'amai lema kal v'chomer. Why should we accept Rav's ruling? Can we not state a kal v'chomer that would result in the contrary? Uma hamefagel enoi mispagel, habo lefagel v'lo pigel, eno din shelo yispagel. If the that which is mefagel, the meat, itself doesn't become ruined when your machshava concerns the bread. So something like the partial bread that comes to be mefagel and is ineffective, certainly the bread should not become pigul. That would have challenged Rav's answer. However, the Gemara tries to reject or respond to that question. Do we accept such kal v'chomer logic? And here the Gemara presents things in an abbreviated fashion. The source is the same source, but is not all of it is not spelled out. The same case that we saw at the top of this omid. And the result of that was that the Zeroyim became Usur and not the vineyard. Ve'amai, why do the Zeroyim become Usur? Lema Kavachomer. Why not say the same type of Kavachomer? Umaha Oiser, Eino Nesar. The grapes, which in general forbidden the plants that are planted in its midst, and yet the grapes are not affected. Habol Eser V'lo Asar, Eino Din Shelo Yisaser. The plants that came to create a prohibition and were ineffective, certainly they themselves should not become affected. And just like we're saying in this suggestion that the plants should not become affected, likewise the bread should not become affected in our original case. And with that, we would in effect maintain and nevertheless, we see that the Zeroyim are Asurim. So by the fact that we conclude that the Zeroyim are Asurim, we see that we do not apply this kind of Kal V'chomer. And by the same token, in the case of the meat and the lechem, we will not apply this type of Kal V'chomer. And hence, we are able to maintain Rav's ruling. By the way, with the markings, you can see how the last triangle that we saw was an inverted triangle, which is the same position that we had around Rav's answer, the inverted triangle. However, the Gemara responds like it did before. Hachi hashto, how can you compare the cases of Kilayim with the cases of the Shechitas HaKvosim? Hasam, in the case of Kilayim, Kanvas Velufos Retoro, Shahz Roim Midrabonan Udi Asiri. Only Kanvas Velufor Osir Minat Torah, but other kinds of Zroim, like was featured in the Kilayim story over here, they are only of a rabbinic nature. Hai Dovadi Sura Kansura Bonan, the law of Sura Lo Kansura Bonan, the one that violated the rabbinic ruling, the one who came to plant his Zroim, so his Zroim become ruined. The owner of the vineyard that didn't do anything wrong, nothing happens to his vineyard. Aval Hocha, but in the case of the Shechitas HaKvosim and the Lechem, Lemo Kal Vachomer, say the Kal Vachomer, and the result of that Kal Vachomer would be that the bread should not become ruined, leaving a point of difficulty against Rav's ruling. And as we said before with the markings, you can see that the most recent triangle was point up, which is contrary to the point down marking around Rav's ruling. So up to this point, we have seen the question of Rabbi Elazar to Rav posed in two versions. One concerning the Todah, the idea of Tziruf, to Asur the loaves of the Todah. And the second version was the idea of Tziruf in order to Asur the loaves of the Shtei Alechem that accompany the Kivsei Atzeres. The Gemara goes on, says, Man de Masni lo atoda, one who raises the possibility of Tziruf in the context of the Todah story, Kol Shegein HaKvosim, then you can certainly raise this possibility as version number two had. Man de Masni lo HaKvosim, but one who teaches version number two of the question with the suggestion that there could be Tziruf that would result in the bread becoming ruined, Kivosim hu, the huzuzela zela tnufa. It's true only in the case of the Kivsei Atzeres, because they are attached to the breads in the waving process. So, since they have this very close relationship, maybe there's a possibility of the bread and meat joining together to form a kazayas quantity. Avol, toida, the lo huzkiku zela zela tnufa, but in the case of the toda, if it's 40 loaves, there is no connection between them in a waving loi. There is no havamina, there's no room to even raise a possibility of a joining of partial meat and partial bread to form a kezias. Rabbi Abba Zuti Boi Lo Hochi. Rabbi Abba Zuti has his version of the question that Rabbi Elazar asked of Rav. But this version is a brand new presentation, and hence we call it simply Roman numeral number 3, whereas in cases 1 and 2 we also used an aleph and beis to create a sense of identity or relationship structurally between questions or versions 1 and 2. This is simply 3, and it's a totally unrelated it's unrelated only in the sense that it's another version of what Rabbi Elazar's question was of Rav. At the outside margin, we have a nosei, sheilas Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar's question, ma kavonoso shel odom hashochid echod mikivsei atzeres amenas lecho kezayis mechaveru lemochar. We want to know, what is the intention behind a person that says, while he's slaughtering one of the kivsei atzeres, he says, I'm slaughtering this kevis, I'm slaughtering this shavuos sheep with the intention of eating a kezayas mechaveroi. And he uses the word mechavero tomorrow. Ha'im kavonosoi al kezayas mea kevis asheni? Is his kavona concerning a kezayas of the second animal? A kezayas mishtei halechem? Or is his intention concerning a kezayas of the bread? The question is, what does chavero mean? Does it mean the other sheep? And if that be the case, then there will be no pigul that sets in, because that would be an issue of ein hamatir mefagilas hamatir. The kivsei atzeres are considered matirim, and there's a rule that says that one matir is not mefagil the other matir. Or does chavero refer to the bread? And then a possibility of pigul, at least a psul, can be introduced. There is a certain amount of elaboration that the Shitikum Mekubetzis on Os Ches does with regard to this particular question, but we aren't going to say any more than we've done already with regard to introduction. Let's now turn to the Gemara. And we're talking about the Kibsei Atzeres, le'echol kezayis mechaveroi lemochar. And he expresses his intention that while he's shechting it, that he intends to eat a kezayis, an olive quantity of chavero lemochar, mahu. Chavero colon. Does chavero mean aleph? And you'll see oidilma at the end of line, beis. The question then is, what does chavero mean? Keves mashma v'lo mafagel? Does chavero mean the other keves? And as a result of that, there will be no pigol? Because of what we said before, ein matir mafagel samatir. Oidilma lechem mashma umafagele. Or do you say that chavero is a reference to the bread? And in such a case, the slaughtering of the sheep with the intention, with a pigal intention concerning the bread, that can take effect. As we said before, the Shita Mekubetzes says, he introduces the problem of how can it be that if you shecht one sheep, that the bread would be effective, whereas a rule of Ein Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir, so he answers two possibilities. One is that this question is according to Rebbe Meir, who holds you are mefagel b'chatzi matir, or it doesn't mean pigol literally, but rather it means possible. Because even according to the Man D'Omer that says ein mefagel b'chatzi matir, nevertheless possel psul does set in. And by the way, this was a sugya that we learned very recently. So the question is very simply: the word chavero that this person expresses, does it mean? Is it a reference to the other sheep, or is it a reference to the bread? Omale Tanisua, Rav says, well, if you have such a question, you can see the following Tanaic source to provide a solution. Shochad echod min akvosim lechol mimenu lemochor. Hu pigol v'chaveroi kosher. Lechol mechaveroi lemochor. Shneem ksherim. If a person shechts one of the kvosim with the intention of eating from it the next day, so the sheep itself that he thought about becomes pigol, the chavero remains unaffected. However, lechol mechavero lemochor, if he shechts one of the sheep with the intention of eating chavero the next day, then both of them are mutter. So from the way chavero is used in the context of this source, and the final phrase, which is shnehem ksherim, is clear that the word chavero is a reference to the sheep. Almo chavero keves mashma. The Gemara says, this is not conclusive. Dilmo, it could be that in this source, deporish viomar chavero keves, that he expressed himself more explicitly than you see in the source that's as is stated right here. But in fact, in that case, when he said, when he shechted the keves, he said, I intend, in the second case, you'll notice we have two examples in this case. It was lechol mimenu, and then it was lechol mechavero. That in case two, when he said, I'm shechting the sheep lechol mechavero, he really said mechavero keves. But the word chavero on its own, that would remain unclear at this point. The Mishnah. Hazevach mefagelas anesochim mishikichu bekli divrei Meir. Vanesochim einon mefaglim es hazevach. The slaughtering of an animal sacrifice with wrong intentions concerning the eating of the meat will ruin the accompanying wine offering that comes with sacrifices. Once, if this took place, once the wine was sanctified in a kli shoreis, in a service vessel. However, v'anesochem einom mefaglim es hazevach. And as we saw in the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah itself explains what is meant. Ketzad. Hashochet es hazevach. He slaughters as an animal sacrifice. Lechol mimenu lemochor. With the intention of eating from the meat. The next day means beyond its right time. Hu unesachav mefugolim. The meat becomes pigul, and the wine that accompanies it also becomes pigul. The Netzachim, by the way, is made up of a accompanying wine and meal offering. So the accompanying offering of wine and the mincha become pigol. However, if he shechs the zevach lahakriv nesachav lamachar with the intention of offering the nesachim the next day, hanesachim mefugalim, hazevach eino mefugal. The nesachim become pigol, and if one were to eat or drink from the nesachim, he would be in violation of pigol and chayav kores, but the meat does not become affected because he did not have any meat intention in this last case. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a diamond that appears. This diamond is in order to draw your attention to the following diamond, and this is explained in the outside margin under our Nosei Mivne heading. We have a diamond featured. Shnei Brisois, there are two Tanaic sources in Signoin Doime, with a very similar style to each one of the sources. Aleph, Niske Behemo, those are the accompanying sacrifice or accompanying offering that comes with an animal sacrifice, and we mentioned the wine and meal offering that accompany a behemoth. And the second brisa features lug shemen shel metzora. The lug is a quantity of oil that comes along with the osham metzora offering, the animal sacrifice known as the osham that a metzora brings at the conclusion of his tumah period. Shayech bohem pigol, both of these, the Niske Behemo and the Lug Shemen Shel Metzora, it's Shayach in them Pigol. Pigol is a possibility. We will see also Rova's name double underline, and the reason we did that is in order to show the balance or similarity of structure in following both Tanaic sources. Rova comes, and we've written on the side, Masbir Shitas Rabbi Meir Bishnei Abraisas, and now he comes to explain Rabbi Meir, who appears in both of these Tanaic sources. Turning to the Gemara, Tono Rabbanan, Niske Behemo Chayav Lemimshu Pigol. Niske Behemo, the accompanying offering that comes along with an animal sacrifice, can become Pigol Mipnei Shedam Hazevach Matiron Likorev, Divrei Rabbi Meir, because the sprinkling of the blood of the animal enables these things, the Nesachim, to be offered on the Mizbeach. Rashi tells us a rule, and let us look at the Rashi together. Rashi at the beginning of the Gemara section, Shedam Hazevach Matirin Likarev, Vavidavar Shiesh Lo Matirin LeMizbeach. It means then that the Nesachim are something that have an okay, they have a heter to be brought on the Mizbeach. And there's a Venoeg Mohen Pigol. And therefore, since they are an item that is licensed to be brought on the Mizbeach, it is possible to talk about Pigol with regard to them. The Choldover Shiesh Lamatirin, anything that has an allowance to be brought on the Mizbeach, Yesh Bo Pigol. The potential of Pigol is appropriate to that item. Once again, as we've learned in previous Gemaras, these are items that have matirin, that something else is matir them. This is not to be confused with something like the komets or the dam, which although they are brought on the Mizbeach, they are allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach, nevertheless they are not something that receives allowance from something else. They in fact are the mechanism or the item that allows other things. So with regard to things like the komets and dam, pigol is not shayach to them. So we go back to our Gemara, and we read the opening of the first brisa, which said that the nesachim are potentially candidates to become pigol because they are items that have something else that allows them, the nesachim, to be brought. What allows the nesachim to be brought? The sprinkling of the blood. Amru lo Rabbi Meir, v'halo adam mevi zivchoy hayoim u'nesachav mikan ad asora yomim. How can you say that the slaughtering of the animal and it's the blood sprinkling of that can make the nesachim into pigol when the nesachim are very disjointed or disassociated from the animal, in the sense that we know a person can bring the nesachim 10 days later even at a much later point. As a result of this possibility of them being brought much later, so they don't seem to be very associated with the animal sacrifice itself. It's true that there's a personal obligation, called a chiyuv gavra, on the person to bring the nesachim, but to say that the thoughts concerning that one has while slaughtering the animal should affect the nesachim, that is going too far. Omar Lehen, Rabbi Meir says, you know, you have a point. However, afani lo amarti ela beboyim imazevach. I said my halacha that niske behema can become pigol. That's a reference to those nesachim that one brings the same day, namely those that he doesn't bring later on. Omar Leh, so Omru Leh, the Rabbonin say back, well, even those efshur l'shanosu l'zevach acher. Even those one can, the nesachim that a person brings the same day that he brings the animal sacrifice, he can switch them to another korban. Therefore, they should not become pigul. Omar Rava, Chosova Rabbi Meir, Hukbu'u b'shchita kelachme toida. Rabbi Meir feels that at the point that you slaughter the animal, you cannot change the nesachim that you brought together with it to something else. So at the point you shecht it, just like in the case of a korban toda, when you shecht the animal, the breads become associated with that animal, they become nikba to that animal, so too the nesachim become associated with the animal that you just shechted, and they cannot be changed or switched to another sacrifice. And as a result of that, Pigol could set upon the Nesachim while you are processing this animal. Tanu Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic source that essentially is the same as the first source. However, it deals with a different item. Lug Shemen Shemetzora Chayovin Alov Mishum Pigol. The oil that is brought by the Metzora in his purification process can be subject to pigol if he has an incorrect expressed intention while he shechts the osham. And let us say he shechts the osham with the intention of eating the meat the next day, so the lug shemen shel Metzora will become ruined. And why is it that the Lug Shemen Shel Metzora is subject to pigul in the first place? But Meishadam Osham Atiru LeBahonos Divrei Rabbi Meir, because as we saw before, the Lug Shemen has another element that allows it to be processed. In the case of the Lug Shemen Shel Metzora, it is applied to the thumbs of the client Metzora. So what enables the Lug Shemen Shel Metzora to be applied? The sprinkling of the blood of the Osham. The blood of the Osham allows the Lug to be applied. Omru lo the Rabbi Meir. Follow all the Mevi Ashama Ayom Velugo Mikan Viad Asor Ayomim. The Rabbanan attacked Rabbi Meir's position and said, I don't see how there's an association between the Osham Metzora and the Lug, when in fact the Osham can be brought today, and the Lug can be brought 10 days from now. Omar Lohen, Afani Lo Amarti Elo Baboim Osham. Rabbi Meir says, you have a point. However, my halacha, that the Lug Shemen Shel Metzora can become Pigol, I'm talking about that Lug which comes together with the Osham, not the case where it's brought 10 days later. Omru lo, so the Rabbanan said back, but efshir l'shanosu l'oshem mitzor acher, that even if the mitzora brings his korban oshem and the lug on the same day, that lug nevertheless could be switched to another oshem mitzora. And therefore, they maintain their position that there still is no association between the lug and the korban oshem. Omar Rava. Rava explains, like we saw before, Kosovo Rabbi Meir, who says that there is an association, an attachment between the Korban Osham Mitzora and the Lug, he holds Hukbu'u B'Shchita Kalach Meitoda. At the point that you shecht the Korban Osham, the Osham Mitzora, that oil cannot be switched to another Osham Mitzora, just like we say in the case of the Lach Meitoda, that when you shecht the Keves, the Lach Meitoda become associated with that Keves. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.